No new injuries. Carlos threw long toss out to 150 feet, got on the front side of the mound just to incorporate the angle. Came out of that feeling well. And right now the tentative plan would be for him to throw a bullpen on Friday. And the progression being batting practice on Sunday. Jesse is still in the 7-day no-throw period.
So is tomorrow a no-throw day for everybody, for all their pitchers?
It is, by design. Actually, the pitchers will stay back here rather than transport over, and we'll take the position players over. We've got some meetings set up before we get into our functional stuff on the field. But, no, tomorrow is a no-throw, no bullpen scheduled. So pitchers will get their rotation, PFP.
The game on Friday is going to be 6 innings?
It is. It is. And that those assignments will be posted by tomorrow. You can basically count on Saturday. Cecil will open up on Saturday. Followed by Alvarez, followed by McGowan, and then we're back into Ricky, Brandon. Actually, I'm sorry, McGowan will not throw on Monday. That will be Hutchinson will start that game. I mentioned yesterday that McGowan will start the second time through. Yes.
I know we're not supposed to put too much stock in this, but a couple of guys, Cecil and Drabek, both were fairly impressive today in
We've had a number of pitchers that have been impressive in the early BP, and it's encouraging to see, but still the truer measure will be once games begin. But the fact that guys are making very steady progress to the start of this spring training season is encouraging, and it's a testament to the work they did in the offseason coming in ready to go. But there's been a number of guys that have thrown the ball well.
Do you look for specifics in, like, early live BP? Is there anything that comes out of it other than they're healthy, they feel good, or are you looking for stuff? Or?
More than anything, you're looking at them repeating their delivery. Are their lanes on time? Are they repeating their delivery? You know, it's the same building block process every spring training. You've got to get the foundation set before pitch execution and command of the baseball can follow that. So that's really what you're looking at. Arm strength, sure. I think we have a pretty good gauge going in where guys should be, and for all intents and purposes at this point, everyone is, as far as arm strength goes, in the right area.
You're happy with the way Drabek's repeating his?
Yeah, you know what? To date, John, he's taken that early work that he did in the offseason, the early bullpens. I'm sure everyone has seen, you know, the strings that have been put on the mound just as a visual reminder for him. The true test will be once, you know, we get into games and you're now all of a sudden asked to balance the running game, the emotion of the game, all those, and that will be more the real litmus test of taking all the drill work out to go out and compete.
Pitch without strings.
Well, he doesn't throw BP with strings.
No.
When he does get into the BP and the line, he's maintaining the lines, is that the sign that it is really starting to take the first kind of indication? Can you put enough into that? I mean, I know it's not a game like you just mentioned, but the fact that he's transferring it to that point, is that what relevance is there in that?
Well, there's a lot of relevance because, one, you're getting back into it. Still, it's a controlled setting, but he's seeing a hitter. He's executing all types of pitches that he has. Ultimately, it will be the focus on executing pitches rather than thinking so much about his delivery, which that's a natural progression. But again, it's first step first, and he's doing just that.
Are you going to use spring to figure out with Lind at first base? And I don't know if it's already set in stone that you're going to kind of play him more at DH this year just because of his back. Or are you going to use spring to see how he's able to handle the daily grind?
As far as spring training goes, you know, he's going to get the normal reps that he would be our everyday first baseman, provided he's got enough games played. I mean, we balance that out just to get put it this way, we're not looking at a platoon situation at first base. He is our first baseman. When we get into the season and how we monitor his off days, that's where Edwin's play at first base will come into play. But right now, Adam Lind's our first baseman. Well, we want every player to have that mindset and that mentality, but there's going to be off days that are going to be required for everyone. So the fact that he comes in with no hindrance of his low back that he experienced a year ago, I think he's got a better understanding of the work needed as far as his ground balls, and not just overloading the volume as he did last spring. He's got a better feel for what he needs to get ready to play the position.
But going back to what you said about repeating their delivery, do the guys who pitch winter ball have a little bit of an edge at this stage?
Yeah, and that's normal. That's common. You know, for instance, you know, Nelson Figueroa, you know, he went 8 innings about 2 months ago. Not even 2 months ago. February 7th was when he last he'd been pitching for 2 months. So just by, you know, repetition, yeah, they might be a little bit ahead as far as executing all their pitches. But, you know, that's why we're here in spring training, is to get everybody ready.
John, whose idea was it to allow the those young minor league outfielders to participate, and were you impressed with guys like Mariznick and those guys?
Well, for the drill, to be more realistic, you know, it's not uncommon to pull guys over from mini camp that are going on. But the one thing that stands out, whether it's Mariznick, Kraus, Anderson, Connect, Pompey, you know, you're talking about some really good-looking bodies. And, you know, the first day they came in and stretched with the group, had they not had their name on the back of their jersey, they would have blended right in with the group. So, you know, you're looking at a group that's 18 to 20 years old, and they have a physical presence about them. And I think that speaks volumes to, you know, the scouts and the overall tools package that they're looking for. And they're good-looking young players.
John, Brandon Dustin, the first pitchers that you've had to manage, or players you've had to deal with who have been diabetics. Have you had others in your career?
No. First ones.
Was there much of a learning curve for you with them? Or is that all you leave it to them and you don't think about it, you let them sort it?
Well, you're certainly aware of it. However, throughout the course of last year, you have to monitor their in-game by what the game is telling us rather than any other medical. That doesn't mean, you know, turning away from it, not acknowledging it. But, you know, they deal with the condition. They you know, do the best they can to bring the same energy level every fifth day. So while you're aware of it, it can't be an overriding factor of your decision, because that's where the communication back and forth and getting to understand what they're feeling on a given day and what they feel day to day, that's part of getting to know them. But as long as they're in a safe area, which it's monitored closely, you evaluate it based on what's going on in the game.
Essentially, you need to trust them to take care of it, and then as long as they're doing that, you can just manage them like anyone else.
In conjunction with our medical staff, absolutely, yeah.
John, I'm not going to get your thoughts on Ricky Romero, if you don't mind. You know about his numbers from last season, but what can you tell us about him that doesn't show up on the stat sheet?
The work ethic that he has, which in some ways does translate into the stats, but when you look at his ability to maintain his stuff from start to finish last year, was one of the more impressive years that have seen from a given pitcher. We never saw a visible drop-off in either action to his secondary stuff or velocity to his fastball. That, to me, was probably one of the most impressive things about a very good year for him. And what you don't see, or what people don't see, or what the numbers won't say, is the work and the commitment the 4 days prior to a start. So his priorities are clearly in the right place. Baseball is one of the three most important things in his life. And because of that, he makes the necessary commitment to be the leader of our staff.
Have you seen many stories like his where you have this high first round pick who goes to the minors and really struggles all the way through his minor league career, and his breakthrough doesn't come until he's in the major leagues?
I'm sure that, you know, right off the top of my head, I don't know if I don't have names that would mirror that, but not uncommon. You can't say that every first round pick has been a straight trajectory.
A lot of the guys get it in the minors and then have a good couple of years in the minors before getting to the bigs.
Well, I think we've all seen players that things can click at the big league level. You know, there's a guy in Boston that's been a similar story. I mean, Daniel Bard had to be rebuilt when he was in the minor leagues. But they come to the big leagues, and whether it's a consistent focus or concentration that kicks in as one potential, I'm not saying that was the case with Ricky or in Bart's case, but you know they don't shy away from the highest level and the best challenge the game can offer. I do know this, that a lot of times first-round picks, they enter pro baseball with a huge expectation on them. And sometimes living up to that first-round pick can be a real obstacle for them until they get to the big leagues. Everyone assumes they're going to get to the big leagues as a first-rounder, so when they finally get there, they somewhat relax. And it's like, okay, I've made it to where my draft number has said I should be. And then things come out. Jeremy Guthrie is another very prime example of that. Scuffled through the minor leagues, but you know, he's been a very good big league pitcher once he's established himself.
John, are you interested in seeing Hechavarria over the course of a full spring training with you and kind of evaluate where he is at this point?
The one thing that you see right now compared to he just looks stronger. And throwing batting practice the other day, you get that rare vision from him from the mound and see a fairly simple swing. But this year, there's a little bit more authority to the swing than a year ago. Even meeting with him today, we did his one-on-one meeting with him today, and he just talked about the difference his offseason this year had compared to last year leading up to spring training. The one thing we're also going to take a look at in spring training is some action at second base. That doesn't mean we're looking to move him, but in the event that we need some flexibility, you know, he's our premier defender in the minor league, so we're going to get him some reps at second base. But we still view him clearly as a long-term and an elite type of shortstop.
John, if there was a DL-type injury at either of the middle infield positions, would he be a consideration for either one of those just to fill in and play every day?
Yes, he would be. And that's what we wanted to just preface it with, that if there was a six-week injury or a two-month injury, you know, it's not a long-term positional shift for him, but he would be a clear-cut candidate.
Did Louis say he was happy to make the transition to second?
Well, we talked about it today.
Yeah.
He's got work to do there. But I think any time you ask somebody who's in either in AAA or the big leagues, that's a pretty simple decision for them.
Did he get his citizenship yet?
He did. And the one thing he had mentioned that about 4 weeks ago, he was notified that he can travel into Canada. Yeah, we don't want him just being on the road with us. But because we had made every effort to bring him into our mini camp in the rookie program in January, and he was still prohibited by the documentation. But we'll confirm it, but it was his understanding, and he was notified that he's got the ability to travel unobstructed.
If you're going to bring him up, the key is to wait till he goes into a slump of AAA.
Seems to be. He's responded in pretty good fashion each time he's been elevated.
In that case, and with so many young players, how important is it to have a guy like Miguel in camp?
Very important. One of the, you know, not taking anything away from his abilities and talents as a player, but his experience level, you know, that was one of the things that we talked about specifically with signing Omar and bringing him in. He's willing and certainly wanting to impart his experience, and that's part of the everyday work that people might not see looking out at the field, but there's a lot of conversation going on out there in the middle of the infield with not just Yunel or Hetch, but everyone that he comes in contact with.
Has Hetch ever played second base?
When he was 15 was his last time. So that's why in spring training we'll get some reps there.
Would that include games? If
eventually, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.